Brian Burke always sort of jokes, well, you know, after trade deadline day, nothing general managers can do except for, you know, pace up and down the hallways. What is your life right now as the NHL is on pause? What is a regular day now for Ken Holland?
It's like, relatively quiet. Once a week we're having pro-scouting conference calls. Pro-scouts are watching some games. I've talked to my chief scout, Tyler Wright, probably a couple times a week, but talk to one or two managers a day, and Bob Nicholson multiple times a day. But relatively quiet compared to what a normal for everybody, for the whole world, obviously.
Berkey?
Yeah, well, Kenny's one of the few guys I can interview that I played against. most of the NHL guys I never played against, but Kenny was in Binghamton. He played for Binghamton in the American League when I played in Portland. And so we go way back. That's a long time ago, Kenny.
So yeah, Jeff, I got to tell you a funny story. So I played goal was, you know, when you had a line change, the first order of business for me was to see who the other team had put out. Did they have scorers? Or play, you know, you had to be aware of who the scorers, where they went. And I knew when Berkey would come out that the left winger on my team had to be very aware of Berkey, because Berkey wasn't the goal scorer. He was the fist of cuffs and run you through the end wall. So I knew it was a 40-second breather that I could kind of let my guard down and kind of let my mental relax mode for 40 seconds. When the main Mariners pumped out, they had like three lines of guys that could score, about 100-point guys. I knew that it was a 40-second breather, but it wasn't a breather for the five guys on the ice. He was going to run them through the end walls and challenge them to fight. So I certainly appreciate Berkey for those 40-second breathers that he used to give me 45 years ago.
Well, I scored three goals that year. I was a high-scoring right wing. I tell you what, that team I played on was pretty good and pretty tough.
It was the best team I ever played against at the American League. I mean, the Maine Mariners it was a pipeline to Philadelphia. And everything that went on in Maine, and you know, everything that went on in Maine was same system. They were drafted and developed, and they were hard, they were tough, they were physical. They had skilled players, and the Maine Mariners in my day in the American Hockey League were the model. The Philadelphia Flyers and the Maine Mariners were the model franchise.
So Kenny, when you quit that, you got your playing career behind you. How'd you get into management? What was your path?
Well, my path was, you know, my last 2 years I played in Adirondack Red Wings and came back home. My agent was looking for a job for me. I was a 29-year-old goaltender, 5'8" goalie, played about three NHL games. There wasn't a hot market for a 29-year-old 5'8" goaltender, and was having a hard time finding a job. Bill Dineen was talking one day, was my coach in the American League level. I was talking to Jim DeVolano, who was the GM of the Red Wings. Jimmy D was looking for a Western Canada scout. Bill Dineen said he would give me the highest recommendation. I was fortunate. I lived in the same apartment complex across from Bill, and I only had one vehicle, and Cindy and I had two small kids. So on road trips to Springfield, I'd leave the car for Cindy, and I would drive 20 minutes into the rink and then go to the bus to the game to Springfield. And So I built a relationship up with Bill, and Bill recommended to Jim DeVolano to hire me as a scout. And I became a scout in 1985, a scout for 4 years, Western Canada scout in 1989. The chief scout of the Red Wings, Neil Smith, left the Red Wings to be the general manager of the New York Rangers. Jim DeVolano elevated me to be the chief scout. And, you know, and then I was chief scout. But at the end of the day, you know, I was fortunate. When I went to Detroit, I got to work with Scotty Bowman on an everyday basis. And Jim DeVolano moved there in 1994 to be the assistant general manager. And I think for me, the first time that I ever thought about being an NHL general manager was when Neil Smith got the job in New York. I'd worked side by side with Neil. We were great friends. Neil was about 2 or 3 years older than me. And I thought, boy, if somebody that I was with had a chance, I just got to build a resume. And I did the chief scout job for 5 more years. And then Jim DeVolano moved me to Detroit in 1994. Brian Murray and Doug McLean had been let go. And I became the assistant general manager and worked on an everyday basis with Scotty Bowman in the office with Jim DeVolano. That was my Harvard. That was my school of Harvard, to work with those people on an everyday basis. I ran the amateur draft. and I ran the farm team, and I worked with Jim Davolano, who did the NHL contracts. I did some research, and he kind of walked me through, and that was my training to be ready to become an NHL general manager in 1997.
So when you were your first year, when you quit playing and were a Western Canadian scout for Detroit, what did you get paid? Do you remember?
I sure do. I made $30,000. I made $30,000 my last year in the American League. My first year pro, I made $6,600. My second year pro, I made $9,500. My third year pro, I made $11,500. My fourth year pro, I made $12,000. I think I had a big jump. I had 2 years of $17,500 and $17,500. I think I had a $22,500 in there, and my last 2 years, $30,000. A funny little story. So now it's 1985, 9 years pro. I'm looking for work. It's May. My agent can't find me a job. We've come home. My wife, Cindy, and I are living in the basement. We have kids born in 81, 83, 84, and we're looking for a place to live in Vernon, BC. I got a job at the liquor store. Cindy's got a job at the hospital as a nurse. We know we're in great shape till Labor Day weekend when they're going to cut our jobs back. And the phone's ringing, and my agent's calling, not good news, not good news, not good news. So one day I come home from the liquor store, and my mom says to me, Cindy's up at Lakeview Pool with the three kids. She wants you to go up there and join them. I said, so I go downstairs, go to my bathing suit. I come back up, and my mom says to me, Ken, their phone's been ringing. How's hockey going? I said, Mom, not good. I'm not good. It doesn't look very good. And she says, Ken, if you don't get a hockey job, what are you going to do? And I said, well, Mom, I'm 29 years of age. I got grade 12 education. I got three kids under the age of four. I said, I got to get some education. Cindy's going to work at the hospital for 2 years. I'm going to go to Okanagan College, and then we're going to go to UBC. I got to get some type of a degree. And she said, Ken, you're 29 years of age. You got three kids under four. You got to put food on the table. And she says, the Vernon News had come up with an ad that day. The Electrolux vacuum cleaners were looking for a salesman in the Okanagan area. And she called the 800 number, and the job was open. She says, Ken, I've had Electrolux vacuum cleaners my entire life. They're the best vacuum on the market. And she says, you got the gift of gab. You got a gate product, good product. You know everybody in town. She said, it's a home run. And before I can say anything, she says, Ken, I'm going to be your first sale. So I said, a couple of seconds later, she says, Ken, I've talked to Grandma Eastbrecht, who was my mom's mom, who lived five doors down, and she says, Grandma Eastbrecht's going to be your second sale. I said, Mom, any idea the status of Aunt Emma's vacuum? She lived two doors down. And she said, Ken, she's family. I haven't talked to her, but she's family. Family takes care of family. I thought I could make the sale with Aunt Emma. And then I thought, I got to leave 23rd Street and head down 39th Avenue. And 2 days later, the phone rang, and it was Neil Smith on the phone saying that I was in consideration for a Western Canada scout for the Detroit Red Wings. The next day, Neil Smith and Jimmy D were going to call me. And for me, it was... It's funny how life goes, and I got to stay in hockey, and it continued to be. I've been in hockey my entire life since I've been paid professionally since I was 20 years old. So very, very fortunate that Bill Dineen took a real shine to me and recommended to Jim Devolano to hire me, and then Neil Smith, Jim Devolano, Scotty Bowman certainly were the people that taught me the business.
Well, Bill Dineen, what a great guy he was. What a wonderful hockey man, and what a family. What a tree he's produced there with the boys.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. Him and his wife, unbelievable people. And sometimes we'd be on the road, his wife would come over and babysit for Cindy for an hour. She could go to the store and buy some groceries. They were unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable people. Unbelievable. Incredible. The greatest.
Ken, a lot of players sort of, reminiscing, if I had a fair shake at the NHL, I would have been a great player. You played one season with Jody Gage, who was the GM of the Rochester Americans when I played there. Do you think he was good enough to play in the NHL and he got a raw deal?
You know what? He was a great American League scorer. I played actually 2 years with Jody. My last 2 years were in Adirondack, and Jody was there. Great person, a great scorer. I guess at the end of the day, the hard part, and I guess those experiences, Anthony, for me, and then my experiences with Scotty Bowman in player development and player assessment, what ends up happening, Jody Gage at the American League level was on the power play, and he played with the best players. And then they go up to the American League, and he doesn't play with the best players. He doesn't play on the power play. And now a guy that has the ability to create offense and score goals is asked to do a different role. if he was playing with the best players and on the power play, could he have scored at the NHL? I think he could have scored at the NHL. Now, would he have been a 15-20 goal scorer, or would he have been a 30-goal, 35-goal scorer like he was at the American League level? Mm-hmm. That I don't know, but certainly at the American League level, he was an elite goal scorer, great person, and a great competitor, and a real good teammate, and was certainly one of the most important players on our Adirondack Red Wing team.
I thought he was a star in the American League. I loved watching him play, and I've met him since, good guy, but I didn't like his feet. And I thought that's what kept him out of the league.
You know what, Berkey, at the end of the day, I think that's probably the number one thing to make the jump from the American League to the National League is pace. And we could, you know, obviously you call those tweeners, you know, the players that are elite players at the American League that just can't quite make the jump to the NHL on an everyday basis and earn a job and stick there. And I think, you know, sometimes it's size, I don't think size is a big factor, but it's pace. It's about skating ability and pace.
90% of the time it's pace. I agree.
Pace, yeah, yeah. So,
As we go down the history books here with you, Ken, with Ken Holland, Oilers general manager, I'm going to throw a date out at you and tell me your memories of this one particular day. November 16th, 1980, Hartford Whalers at the New York Rangers.
I remember that day like it was yesterday. I actually got the call. I was having a tremendous year at the American League. I think I finished second team All-Star that year in Binghamton. I got a call to get called up to Hartford. Drove over to Hartford Saturday night. Hartford Whalers played Washington Capitals at home. John Garrett was in net. We lost 7-3. Jumped in the bus. We were busing from Hartford over to New York to play the Rangers Sunday night. I kind of had an, you know, you're thinking you might get the chance. I went to the rink in New York, starting to dress, and the assistant coach came in. It was maybe in half an hour, 45 minutes before we were going to go on the ice for warm-up. The assistant coach came in and said, Don Blackburn wants to see you. My heart was going 100 miles an hour. I went into the coach's room, Don Blackburn, and he said, how are you feeling? We're thinking of playing. And I said, yeah. And I got to start in Madison Square Garden, and I remember the first period, we got outshot like 15-5 or 6. I gave up one goal. I think it was Hedberg. We're down 1-0, and I'm sitting in the locker room thinking to myself, I finally made it to the NHL. I'm 26 years old. Pete Peters was my goaltending teammate in junior in Medicine Hat Tigers, and Pete was now established as, and I'm thinking, boy, Pete's up there. This is my chance. And in the second, so I'm sitting there in the first intermission thinking that I'm finally in the National Hockey League. The second intermission, they scored 5 goals on 21 shots in the second period. We're down 6-1 going into the third period. I'm sitting in the in the locker room in the second intermission thinking to myself, you're never going to be in the National Hockey League again. Make sure you enjoy every minute of the third period. Remember, Nick Fatiu wired a shot in the third period, went over the crossbar, broke the glass. I was happy the glass broke. Out come the ladder. I took my mask off. I loved Bernie Parent. I had my mask at the side of my head like Bernie, like I used to watch Bernie Parent do on TV with the Philadelphia Flyers. I had my arm over the crossbar, and I was looking around Madison Square Garden just enjoying the moment, thinking, I'm never, ever going to be back in the NHL, and I'm gonna enjoy every savor, every second. We lost 7-3 that night, and when the game was over, I think we got back to Hartford, and they told me. But on that team was Gordie Howe, Dave Keon, you know, Mark Howe, Ron Francis. So it was an incredible experience. And I'm not sure if they're on that team, but when I was in the Hartford Whaler organization for those 2 or 3 years, Ron Francis was drafted, was on the team. Gordie Howe was there. Dave Keon was there. I wasn't called up, but Bobby Hull went in there for a short period of time at some point in time. So there was some of the greatest players to ever play the game had come through the Hartford Whalers. But I remember my first NHL game like it was yesterday.
Was it Larry Plough that told you to go to the coach's office?
You know what? You're right. You're right. Larry was the assistant. Larry was the assistant coach. And then that year, that summer, Larry went from being the assistant coach to being the head coach and the general manager. That's right. It was Larry Plough that came in, walked in, and told me that Don Blackburn wanted to see me. It's amazing.
one of the nicest men in the industry. He is such a nice man. I'm curious, Ken. That is a wonderful story, by the way. How many times have you told that to a young hockey player?
Not a lot, but you know, Jeff, I try to, you know, as the manager, I try to remember, especially when we're talking to, you know, and in September when you got to go kind of poke holes in young people's dreams, you know, not so much the young players, the 21 and 22 year olds, you know, the ones that are on that you think are going to, but the 25, the 26, the 27 year olds that you just, they're playing the game. They're very good. That was me sitting in that chair 40 years ago and getting the news. So I try to certainly have, you know, I was in that chair, and everybody's dream. You play the game. Everybody's dream is to play in the National Hockey League. And even for I think I played, four NHL games, the one with Hartford and three with the Detroit Red Wings at the end of my career. And everybody wants to play in the NHL. And when as a manager, an assistant manager, or you're part of management, and you've got the job to tell, and Berkey's been in that chair, and you've got to tell young people that they're either not ready or you didn't make the team, and you've had a great preseason, and you've scored 5 goals and they can't understand. I try to make sure that I spend a few extra minutes in that meeting to at least, you know, explain the whole situation. They might not like what they hear, but you got to try to I'd like to walk them through versus come in, you're just cut and you're out. Because I was in that chair, Berkey and I were both in that chair as hockey players on the one side and in management on the other side. Those are tough meetings.
Well, I got to training camp. They gave me number 54. I called my dad. I said, I don't think they're planning on keeping me here.
You're right about it. No, but Berkey, what you say, and that's why, you know, guys, you know, as hockey players, you can read in pretty quick what number they give you in training camp, what team you're on, what's your line mates in training camp, how many preseason games do I get? You can start to read the tea leaves in a hurry to see where you fit in.
Absolutely, and you're right. There is an art to sending players down, or trading players, or cutting players. There is an art to it. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And Pat Quinn was really careful about that. It was always positive, negative, positive. So, kid, we love you. Now the negative, we're sending into the minors. Here's the things you need to work on, and you'll be back. We think you have a great future. Pat was so gentle with these kids and was so artful and so careful to give them the right message and give them some hope. You need hope when you're a minor leaguer.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And you're talking Pat Quinn, the Larry Plows, you know, the Bill Dineens. You're talking about some of the great, great people in our game. And Berkey, you and I were very fortunate to be able to learn from those people and how to deal with people.